a child of God or a servant of God? What does the heart of a servant of God look like? And so when giving a Bible question, we want to make sure we give a Bible answer. So if you have a copy of God's Word, go ahead and meet me in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And as you're turning there, I'll be giving a little context. And in 2 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's instructing Timothy how to be a successful servant of God. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 22, Paul writes to Timothy and says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." I love how Paul goes on to tell Timothy, as a servant, there are some things you need to flee, but there are also some things you need to pursue. And I love that he gives that balance, because many times there are people that tell us there are some things you need to let go of. There are some things you need to put out of your life. But if I get rid of things and then I don't replace those things with anything, you'll find yourself doing absolutely nothing. That's not what a servant of God does. A servant is one who serves, so we can't be doing anything. So there's something we need to flee, but there's also something we need to pursue. And then he goes on to say in verse 23, "But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife." Now, those are three different verbs. And I don't have the time, but if you get the chance, please go home and do a word study on those three verbs, the things in which Timothy was supposed to flee, pursue, and to avoid. And then verse 24, this is where we're going to take our sermon, our lesson for tonight. "And a servant of the Lord must," now if you're taking notes, I want you to underline, highlight, circle, box, check mark, whatever it is you do to words in your Bible. Do anything to that word "must," but do not cross it out. "A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all." And then there's a comma, "able to teach." Now, usually the comma separates things, but that "must" travels even over that comma. "A servant of the Lord must be able to teach." Now, I've heard it said when it comes to teaching God's word, I've heard brethren say, "Sometimes you got it and sometimes you don't." I've heard men say this. You either got it or you don't. But according to Paul, he's writing to Timothy, or according to God's word, a servant of God must be able to teach. And then he tells us how. He must be able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God will perhaps grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. Well, Brother Hatchett, that's what a servant of God is. You still haven't described what the heart of a servant looks like. All right, jump up, if you will, to verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, depending on your translation, New King James says, "be diligent," but the King James renders this verse, "study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth." Still has nothing to do with the heart, but it does. You see, the word of God is a complete. It is not incomplete. It's not pieces here and there. It is a complete book given to us by God himself. And a lot of times, in order to understand one verse, you may need to couple it with another. And so in Ezra chapter 7, we see that Ezra is going to do the same exact thing Paul instructs Timothy to do. But Ezra did something before he did it. In Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, the Bible reads, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." And in Ezra 7:10 and in 2 Timothy 2:15, we see the same basic biblical principles. Ezra had to prepare his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Paul would tell Timothy to study to show thyself approved. Ezra also prepared his heart to do the law of the Lord. Paul told Timothy that by studying God's word, he would be a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Now, a worker is someone who, believe it or not, does work. They actually do something. And so by studying God's word, Timothy would be working it, doing it, applying it. He would be applying the things in which he studied. Finally, Ezra had prepared his heart to teach the law of the Lord to the Israelites. Paul told Timothy that by studying God's word and being a worker of it, he would be able to rightly divide the word of truth, which means he would be able to teach it correctly. So here you have Ezra and Timothy showing the heart of a servant of God. And I know this is true because before Ezra did any of this, he had prepared his heart to do so. He prepared his heart to seek God's word, to do God's word, and to teach God's word. I want you to think of the SAT. Leon actually gave this to me. When you think of studying for a test, one test a lot of people have to take or study for is the SAT. But that's just short for study God's word, apply God's word, and teach God's word. The SFTs of a servant of God. And so here we see the character of a servant. A servant is one who prepares, fixes, purposes, determines his heart with all of his power and passion to seek the law of God and to do it himself so that he may be properly qualified to teach it to others. The Living Bible translates this verse as this was because Ezra had determined to study and obey the laws of the Lord and to become a Bible teacher, teaching those laws to the people of Israel. The point I want to make is before you can be a servant, your heart has to be made up. It has to be determined. You have the purpose in your heart that this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to seek to do God's will so that I can apply it to my life and I can teach it to others. Other biblical examples would be Daniel. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat nor drink. In other words, a heart of a servant of God is one that doesn't compromise. We also see in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, that God said Caleb had a spirit that was different. He had a different spirit within him. In other words, the heart of a servant of God is one that can conquer giants. It's one that doesn't cave in. So according to Daniel, it's one that doesn't compromise. According to Caleb, it's one that doesn't cave in. And according to Ezra, it's one that seeks to do, to live, to learn, and to teach the law of the Lord. So remember this. Before an instrument can be properly played, it has to be tuned. Before a servant of God can truly serve in the fullest capacity, you have the purpose in your heart. You have to prepare your heart. You have to make up your mind. You have to decide. And I need to say this as we give the invitation. If you are not a servant of the Lord, or if you are not a member of the Lord's church, that means you're not a part of the kingdom. In Matthew 16, 18, and 19, we learn that the kingdom of God is the church. A kingdom, think about it, is made up of people who serve the king. So if you're not a member of the Lord's church, you're not a member of the kingdom, and you cannot be a servant of the Lord. And you are not a servant of God. I want to plead with you this evening, won't you be one? Won't you prepare your heart to hear God's word, to believe God's word, to repent of your sins and confess Jesus to be the Son of God, to be added to the kingdom through the watery grace of baptism? If you are a child of God or a servant of God, but maybe you've allowed something to deter you, maybe you've allowed something to change your mind, to change your heart, I want you to know that you have the opportunity tonight to come forward and you can allow us to pray for you. Make up in your mind tonight. Decide tonight that I'm going to repurpose my life to God. And whatever that need is, we're here to help. So one thing I truly love about Ninth and Main is that the leadership here, they won't just pray for you, but they'll actually help you. Whatever you stand in need of, let that need be known tonight as we together stand and sing.